Do you remember when you were drowning in a sea of sin? Going down for the last time when he called upon your name. And he reached down his nail-scarred hand and lifted you out. So remember where you were back then and thank him for where you are now. And give him the glory for what he's done in your heart. He took you from sin and strife and gave a new start. And he took your broken life and made you complete. So take off your crowns of glory and cast them at the Savior's feet. Do you with all your heart you longed to serve him, but you didn't think that Jesus could use someone like you? Now look how he's used your life since he called you out. And remember where you were back then and thank him for where you are now. And give him the glory for what he's done in your heart. He took you from sin and strife and gave a new start. He took your broken life and made you complete. So take off your crowns of glory and cast them at the Savior's feet. So take off your crowns of glory and cast them at the Savior's feet.
Wonderful. Thank you, Mrs. Jones, for the song. And thank you for being here this morning, being in the house of God. I hope that you're glad you're in church. I guess you came on purpose today. And I assume that the reason we're all here is because we want to hear something from God. We'll find out what the Lord has for us, and when we leave here today, we want to leave changed, don't we? We want to leave with the touch of God and realize, you know what, I've been to church. I don't want to ever have to come to church and leave thinking, you know what, I'm not sure I went to church. I want to come knowing that when I leave, you know what, I left, I know I've been to church today. God's met with us. So let's take our Bibles this morning, if you would, with me, and join me in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And then we're going to also look at 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Let's stand together out of love and respect for the reading of the Word of God. We're going to read quite a bit of Scripture this morning, so just hang on there. We'll be fine. Get to the point, and I'll have you circle and underline some things here. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you're not familiar with this portion of Scripture, just up previous to the two verses that we're going to read, the Lord is talking about the second coming of Christ and what will be happening during the tribulation period, how the Antichrist will be revealed, and that he will bring a false doctrine, a false perception to people. And the Scripture says that people will be sent strong delusion, that they would even believe a lie. Now, it's going to look like the truth, but it's not the truth. It's going to be dressed up in the skin of a truth, but it's not the truth. And the way, listen, the thing about it is the way you find out is when you bite into it, right? If you bite into it and you find out, wait a minute, this is not a taco. All right, somebody's disguised this. But the way you found out is once you bit into the content of it. Once you got inside, you found out, wait a minute, this is not what it says it is. Now I want you to notice here, because the Apostle Paul is trying to help these people. And he began to teach them and tell them about the end times and about how that as the end times approach, listen to me, help me now, the more contemporary society will become. And the more adapting to the present times of worship and religion they will become. It will no longer be the worship and the adapting of our service to Jesus Christ out of love and respect. And we're going to look at all this morning. But many times it will be all about us. It will be all about what we get out when we come to church. And we come to church and it's not necessarily about what we can do for God as much as what can God do for us. And we've got to break out of that mold. We must not allow that spirit to permeate the local church. And that's what Paul is saying here. And I want you to look at it, verse 14. Whereunto he, the Lord, called you, verse 14, by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, now therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold. Now here's what I want you to circle. The traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. He said, whether the traditions came for you in the written form or whether the traditions came to you through the teachings of our forefathers, he said, hold on to traditions. Hold on to that which is traditional, that which is proven, that which has a foundation, that which has been fruitful over the course of time. Now, what he's saying here, when you go read the context, he says, because there's coming a day when people will not adhere to sound doctrine. They will take to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they will be adapted over. They will make the transition over to a contemporary type of lifestyle that leaves God out of it. He said, don't do that. Now listen to me. He said, because if you do, you're going to be in parallel with the spirit that will be existing during the tribulation. It's called the spirit of Antichrist. It's what it is. Now look at chapter 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men, look at what he says here, have not the faith. Now he said some of them have the pretense of it, and it looks like it, but it's not really it. He said some have not the faith, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord, touching you, that you both do and will do the things, notice what he said, which we have commanded. Remember he talked about whether it's in writing or by this epistle. He said that we have commanded you, and the Lord, verse 5, direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Now, we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly. Now notice what he says again. And not after the tradition which he received of us. He says, now if you have somebody that decides that they're not going to hold to the traditions of traditional scripture, he says that brother becomes disorderly. In other words, they have now gone to some other form of belief system. Now look what he says. He says, don't hold to what they say, hold to tradition. Hold to what we have taught you. Hold to what has been proven over time. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by the Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. You need to circle that out in the margin. You need to write and connect it to the word tradition. He says, do not be weary in following tradition. Do not be weary in following that which has been handed down from generation to generation to generation and is proven that it works. He said, don't be weary. Listen, he said, because there's going to be some that are going to say, you're old-fashioned. He said, there's going to be some that are going to say, you know what, you're archaic, you're Jurassic, you need to come into the 21st century. Listen, folks, we have a book in our hand that's just as good today as it was when God gave it as it is today in the 21st century. It's still alive. Now look what last verse. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be, look at that last word, ashamed. Ashamed of what? Because he didn't follow tradition. Because he got away from that which was proven. He got away from that which was established. And I want to take these verses this morning and preach to you on the subject, trust God's traditions. Just trust God's traditions. Father, would you bless us now and open our heart and mind and spirit to what you have for us. And we look forward to what you're going to do in and through our lives. And we ask that you'd speak to every heart and soul this morning in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. You know, tradition today kind of gets a bad rap. And because people deem that tradition is out of touch. Or that tradition is ineffective. And a lot of times, tradition is compared to something old or something irrelevant today. Tradition is looked on kind of like going to the in-laws for Thanksgiving every year or Christmas. And we think, oh man, you mean I got to go back to that boring? You mean we got to watch these, we got to see these same pictures again? We got to go through these same albums again? We got to watch the same videos again. And listen, my parents are in their 70s now. They still have those old millimeter, those old 16, I guess it's 16 millimeter, on reels. Listen, and the camera that works it. And it still works. Now, sometimes we look at tradition, gets a bad rap. And that's how we look at it. We look at it as boring, and we look at it as, well, you know, we got to go back. You know what, preacher, it's just the same old, same old. Well, let me ask you this. Have you read the Bible lately? You know what it is? It's the same old, same old. It's the same thing from Genesis to Revelation. You know what it's talking about? One person, Jesus Christ. Same old, same old. And yet what happens is we get so flippant about how we read the Bible. Because here's what we want. We want to come to church and we want, come on, give us something we haven't heard. Well, the thing about it is, if I do, then we're going to get off the Word of God. And we got to stay with tradition. Listen, go check me out. He kept it in the context of the spirit of Antichrist. He says, the day will come when people will move away from traditional values. Hello? Wake up. You know where we are? It's where we are today. The traditional home's out the window. Traditional values, morals are out. They're all gone. You say, not in our home. We hold on to them. You are part of the minority. We are in that day. We need to trust tradition. You know, Webster's defines tradition as a pattern of thought or action passed on from generation to generation. He said it's a manner. It's a method, listen, that identifies one with a practice or a system of belief. This is what he defined it as. What has come to the definition of tradition today? You know what it is for most people? Old-fashioned. Listen now, a lot of people say, Baptists, you're just old-fashioned people. Come on, now you need to get in the 21st. I am in the 21st century, right here with Jesus. He's here with us too. Same word. Same old, preaching the same thing, doing the exact same thing he's always done. You see, the Apostle Paul, on several different occasions, exhorted these Thessalonians. Twice, he exhorted them, stand fast on the traditions. Do not waver from the traditions. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 28, remember what it says? Remove not the ancient landmarks. He said, don't move them, because when you start moving the landmarks, then what happens is people begin to get confused on where the boundaries are. People get confused on what's what. He said, don't remove the ancient landmarks. But listen to me now. When Paul exhorted them to stick with tradition and traditional discipleship, traditional fellowship, if you'll notice, he never mentioned altering the teachings of Christianity. He never mentioned altering the structure of Christianity. He never mentioned altering the motives of Christianity, the methods of Christianity, the means by which we are to evangelize. He never addressed any of that. He said, stick with the traditions, whether it came by word or whether it came by epistle, whether it came through the writings of the Word of God or whether you heard it preached, stick with them. Now, we know that we have a reference to other traditions in the Bible, don't we? You see, there's basically two existing traditions. We're going to call one traditions according to the Scripture. All right? And we know that's what Paul is talking about. He's talking about a doctrine. He's talking about a lifestyle. He's talking about consecration. You know what he's based on the bottom line? He's talking about Christianity. He said that's what Christianity is based on. It's based on tradition. It's based on things, manner, methods that have been handed down from generation to generation that identify us with a practice and with a certain belief system. It identifies us with that. So we have the traditional practices of Scripture. But listen now, then we have the traditional practices of men. Now I want you to notice, to hold your place there in 2 Thessalonians, go to Colossians, just turn over a couple of books. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Go to Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 8. Here's the Apostle Paul speaking again to another group of believers. He said, beware, Colossians 2, 8, beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Let me ask you this. Anybody ever picked something out of a refrigerator that's kind of been in there a while and you thought, man, I don't remember it being in there that long, and you pulled it out and you opened it up and it was spoiled? Try spoiled eggs. Try spoiled meat. You know what it is? It's a stench, isn't it? It's gross. It's nasty. He said, anything other than the traditions passed down, the manner, the methods, the truth passed down from our forefathers, whether it be by epistle or whether it be in word, he said, is a stench. He says, listen now, follow me. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of who, church? Come on, help me out. After the tradition of who? Didn't say after the tradition of Scripture, did it? He said there are some that are imitators. There are some that are imitating tradition, but it's not tradition of Scripture. It's tradition of men. And he said, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and listen, and not after Christ. Take your Bible, go to Matthew chapter 15. I want to show you something that Jesus addressed this exact same manner or matter. Matthew chapter 15. Okay, Matthew chapter 15. Now remember, we got two traditions working. We're going to call one the traditional practices of Scripture. We're going to call the other the traditional practices of men. I want you to look at Matthew 15. Are you there? In verse 2. But he, Jesus, or let me go back to verse 2. Why do thy disciples, and the question is asked, transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. And here's what Jesus answered. And he answered and said unto them, well, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your traditions. Now listen, he said, Jesus plainly divided, there's two. He says, now by your traditions, you have divided yourself from mine. And he called his tradition commandments. He called his traditional values, his traditional direction, the Word of God. And he said, you have separated yourself because you have adhered to the traditions of men. Now we're going to call one the traditional practices of Scripture. We're going to call the other one either the traditional practices of men, or we're going to call it contemporary. All right? Because that's what the word means. It means conforming to the times. That's the reason that we have confusion everywhere in the world today. And you know who's behind that confusion? God is not the author of confusion. That means if he's not the author, there can only be one source from which confusion comes. Confusion has to come from the adversary, right? So he's trying to confuse people on what the truth is. Why? Because he doesn't want you to get involved with tradition. Because the traditions will lead you to Jesus. Now, listen carefully. I'm not advocating either of these. I'm just saying to you, this is the best illustration. I had these, and so I'm going to use it, okay? I have in my hand a Diet Coke. Now, I don't drink Diet Cokes, and nobody starts sending me Diet Cokes, all right? Brother Sam, you can have these after. But I have in my hand a Diet Coke. Do you know Coke is tradition? It's the original. But did you know that also on the market you have other brands? Now, this one's called Big K. But it says Diet Cola on there. Now, look. They look very similar, don't they? But they're totally different. And the thing about it is, one is tradition. One is contemporary. Now listen, follow me on this now. But they look okay, right? They both look and say, well, I don't understand, preacher. What's the difference? One's just as good as the other. Have you ever heard the old cliche, you get what you pay for? You see, the thing about it is there is a huge difference between the two. Now the thing about it is, first of all, when you look at these, right, you can tell that, wait a minute, one's a Coke, one's a Big K, and the formula for Coca-Cola for the traditional Coke has been passed down from generation to generation, right? It's a formula that has been passed around and is popular all over the world. Now listen, how much of the world do you think recognizes the name of Coke? How many people do you think recognize Big K? Wait a minute now. So that means that a lot of the world's practicing tradition, right? Yeah, they are. They're practicing tradition. Why? Because they know Coke has some substance to it. And they know it's the real thing, right? They know that Big K resembles the real thing. Listen now, it kind of has a little twinge of taste like the real thing, but it's not the real thing. It's not tradition. Now, it looks like it. You can look about outwardly. They look similar. But you can tell the difference between the labels, right? Inwardly, the content's different. You pop the cap on these and drink them. You know what? They're going to taste different. Why? Because one's tradition, one's not. One's tradition, one isn't. You see, you can taste the difference. You can see the difference. The formula is different. Listen, they are not the same. You say, well then, preacher, why do people even buy Big K then? Now listen carefully. Now follow me on this now. There's a reason. It's not necessarily that they prefer Big K over the Coke. It's that Big K is cheaper. Listen to me now. Big K, I can get more for my money here than I can here. So you know what I'm willing to satisfy? I'm willing to satisfy a little taste of tradition, but with the cost of contemporary. That's all I'm doing. It's not that I don't prefer the original. The thing about it is that the Big K is less expensive to me. It costs me less. Now, I get a similar taste without the extra cost involved. Amen. So, you know, listen to me. You know why people are so against traditional values today? You know why they're so against traditional services today? You know why they're so against the traditions of God today? Because all they want's a little bit of the taste without the cost involved. That's all it is. Because you know that tradition requires commitment. Tradition is going to require more of you. There's more of a cost involved in it. You see, so what they do is they just sacrifice the taste and the satisfaction of tradition for the cost of involvement in something much less than what God wanted. Amen and amen. That's where we are, folks. Now listen, you know what the apostle was saying? Don't stick with big K. He says, because what is going to happen if you do that, all you're going to do is just get a tiny bit of the taste without the substance. He said, it's not tradition. You want the real thing? There's the real thing right there. Can I say to you, you want the real thing? There it is right here. That's the real thing right here. But the spirit of Antichrist is going to try to convince us, no, you don't need that. Just big K is all you need. That's all you need. You just need a little bit of the taste without the cost and involvement. And by the way, less commitment. Amen. Just amen myself right there, right? Now listen, it's the same idea. Listen to me. It's the same idea, mamas and daddies, that you do with your children in parenting. You want to pass down traditional values, right? You want to pass down ethics. Amen. Tell them the truth. You want to pass down morals. You want to pass down character, responsibility, accountability, dependability. You want to pass all of these down, right? Now let me ask you this. Do you want somebody else passing those down to your kids? Do you want somebody else having your kids say, listen, I know this is not Coke, but it's just like it. You won't tell the difference. And may listen to me. Do you know most little kids may not be able to tell the difference. But most of you will. You see, what we're doing, folks, God says, listen, don't get away from the traditions. Stick with Coke. Don't buy the big K. Now, some of you work for Kroger. I'm not saying you can't go buy big K, all right? So don't go tell Kroger and I get a nasty letter in the mail. Can I ask you, why would a parent abandon proven values and not transfer them to their children? How can we expect a child to be a model citizen without having a model system? How can we expect to have model Christians and pure religion if we don't have a traditional system, a standard, something that's proven, something that has circled the globe and has proven itself to be right? Now, that said, I want you to think about a couple of things here, okay? How can the church today, in 2012, promote the message of Christianity if we leave out the traditions of our forefathers? Now listen, the apostle said, whether it be by word or by what? Or by epistle. He says, whether it be written or whether it be spoken. He said, you need to stick with that which is proven. Remember I told you a while ago, Proverbs 22, verse 28, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. You see, if the church and Christians are sending mixed signals to a lost world, what are they thinking? You know what they're thinking? They're thinking we're trying to act like Diet Coke, but we live like Big K. That's what they're thinking. They're thinking, oh man, you know what you're doing? You're propping up Diet Coke, but you know what? You live like Big K. You act like you just want a taste of it. You know, folks, there's a clear choice in this, right? Totally clear. Traditions of God or traditions of men. And we are warned over and over and over in the Bible to stick with the traditions of God and traditions of Scripture. First of all, let me give you a couple things to think about. First of all, we need to stick with traditional salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know what the Scripture teaches? It teaches traditional salvation. You say, how far back does it go? All the way back to the garden. All the way back. Did you notice the ingredients there? The ingredients in salvation are the grace of God and faith. Faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. You see, the Scriptures have never promoted another gospel. Matter of fact, Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Galatians 2:21. You see, traditional salvation has always been promoted in Scripture. It's always been promoted as grace, as by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Hey folks, can I say something? Listen to me. Today, salvation is not multiple choice. But you know what? That's what Big K says. Just pick which way you want. And whichever way you want to choose, then that's good enough for you. Because by the way, if you're sincere, doesn't matter what you believe, right? You see, the thing about it is I can be sincere and pop this and drink this Big K, but it's not tradition. I can say, you know what? I know it says Big K, but it's Diet Coke. Now, I can say that all the time, but the truth of the matter is the content says differently. You see, we've got to stick with traditional salvation. Listen to me. Did you know that Jesus was traditional? Did you know that? Remember our definition of tradition, a pattern of thought or of actions that are passed on from generation to generation? And that it's a manner and method that identifies one with a practice and a system of values. Listen to what the Lord said about himself. John 14:9. He said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. You know what? Tradition. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen God. Listen to what else he said. John 8:26. He said, I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. You know where he got those words? He got them from the Father. John 8:28, he says, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. John 12:50, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. You know what he was? He was tradition. He took what was passed on by the Father to him, and he brought it to us. And what he did is he gathered 12 apostles around him, and he taught them. And you know what he taught them? He says, take these teachings and pass them on. And they did, and they went on and went on. And guess what? We have them today. Isn't that amazing? You'd almost think God's involved in this, didn't you? You see, what I'm saying to you, listen, we traditional salvation. Take your Bible, go to 1 John 4 for just a moment. Let me show you something here. Go to 1 John chapter 4. Remember when I talked to you just a moment ago about the spirit of Antichrist? Do you know the Bible says that that spirit exists in the world today? And it's anti-traditional. Now go check me out. We don't have time to study this out. But you go check me out. When the Antichrist comes on the scene, he will be totally contemporary. Totally. Tradition is gone. Matter of fact, you know how I know that? Because when the Jews try to carry out their traditional practices, he slaughters them. And then he sits on the throne, deeming himself to be God. And all of a sudden they realize, wait a minute, if you're not the Christ, we must kill the real one. Right? He's contemporary. What he's doing is he conforms to the time, because we find out from Scripture, when the Antichrist comes on the scene, he will have all of the answers. Matter of fact, everybody will say, that's a man of peace. Right? Isn't that what they'll say? He's a man of peace. He's got all the answers. Listen to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus is Christ, or Jesus has come in the flesh, is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Wait a minute, if it was there in Paul's day, is it here today? Yeah, it's still alive. You know what the spirit is? The spirit is anti-traditional. Why? Because he doesn't want you to get the traditional truth about salvation. He wants you to think, fine, work your way there. Or he wants to say, no, I'm sorry, your salvation is already predetermined by God. You don't have a choice in it. And so all of these things he's going to feed, and society is going to suck them in, hook, line, and sinker. They're going to say, fine, do your good works, have your lifestyle. All I'm saying to you, you know what, these are contemporary ideas. These are antichrist. These are of the spirit of the devil. Amen. You know what Jesus taught? He taught traditional salvation. You know how I know that? Because Nicodemus came to him in John chapter 3 and said, can I talk to you privately? The Lord said, yeah. So he came to him by night because he didn't want anybody to see him. He said, I got some questions. I've been listening to you. And he said, you know what? I was taught in another denomination that you had to keep the law in order to be saved. He said, but you're saying something totally different. And Jesus said, yeah, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Blew him away. You know what he said? Now listen, this is an intelligent man. This is not some guy that's in first, second grade education. You know what he said? He said, how can I go into my mother's womb a second time and be born? This is a smart man. Listen, folks, he had totally bought hook, line, and sinker the contemporary idea that keeping the law was salvation. And when Jesus exposed it, the traditional way of salvation to him, you know what? He got gloriously born again. Because he realized, hey, that's the way. But it was tradition. Number two, go to Genesis chapter 4 real quick. Genesis 4. We've got to stick with traditional salvation. Number two, we've got to stick with traditional worship. Did you know that God has laid out a plan in the Bible how he wants to be worshiped? Lays it out very clearly in the scripture. Now, I'm only going to use one illustration here to help you to see this. I'll give you a couple of other ones real quick. Okay, are you there in Genesis chapter 4? Remember, two sons were born to Adam and Eve? Now, here's the thing, folks. Obviously, somewhere in here, though it's not recorded in this passage, obviously somewhere in here, God had informed Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, of how he wanted to be worshipped. And the reason that we know that is from what happens here. Because I want you to look at it. Are you there? Genesis 4, verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Stop. Two separate guys, right? One kept sheep, one tilled the ground. Anything wrong with somebody that keeps sheep? Anything wrong with somebody that tills the ground? Nothing wrong. All right, now look. And in the process of time, to stop, that's where we know something took place right there, right? Somewhere in time, God had instructed the first family how he wanted to be worshipped. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. You say, man, what's wrong with that? Well, let's look on. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Did you notice it didn't say God had respect of Cain's offering? It said he only had respect of Abel's offering. Look at verse 4. And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. We just read that, didn't we? But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now listen, we're going to read one more verse, but listen to me. What's happening here is obviously God at some point had told them how he wanted to be worshipped. He said, this is how I want to be worshipped. He said, I created you. The least you can do is do what I tell you to do. Amen. All right? So here's what happens. Cain says, you know what? I know I should drink a Diet Coke, but it costs too much. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring a big K. And I'm going to just go ahead and see, surely God, because I'm a tiller of the ground, right? God will accept what I offer because that's what I do. So he brought before him the fruit of his labors, and God had no respect for his big K. Right? You say, but he was sincere. What does that have to do with anything? God didn't say, if you come sincerely, that I'll accept it regardless of what it is. He said, I've got a way I want to be worshipped. He said, do it the way I instruct you. So Cain comes with fruit. Abel comes with the blood of the lamb. And God has respect of it. He has no respect of Cain's worship. Now listen, somewhere along the line, God taught them what they had to do, right? One followed tradition. The other decided he's going to go contemporary. He was going to conform to whatever needed to be conformed to, and then he expected God to accept it regardless of what the instructions were. Look at verse 6. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? He said, I've given you the instructions. And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall he be and thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. Now listen, Cain's upset because God would not receive his contemporary worship. Amen. According to his labors. And because God rejected that and accepted the traditional form of worship, which is what he instructed to the first family, and Abel followed through with that, here's what contemporary decided he's going to do to tradition. Look at it now. And Cain talked with Abel, verse 8, his brother, and it came to pass that when they were in the field, what does the field always represent when you look at in Scripture? Doesn't it always represent the harvest? Doesn't it always represent the fields are white into harvest? So while we're out laboring, right? We're out doing the things of God. Look what he says. And when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother. Look what he did to it. He killed him. He said, you know what? I think you're smart because you follow tradition, don't you? You just think you Baptists are the only right people that are right. You just think you people down there, you conservative-minded, you just think you're the only people that are right. No. It's just that we happen to be serving somebody that's right. That's not sarcastic. That's not arrogant. You mean I get condemned because I follow the one who's right? You mean I follow the one that has and has proven over time that traditional salvation saves and that traditional worship is the right way to go? Remember 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse number 7? Remember where Israel, they said, listen, all the other folks have a king. We don't have a king. God says, well, a minute, that's not traditional. Tradition is I take care of you. I provide for you. I'm the one that gave you water out of a rock. I'm the one that gave you manna. I'm the one that provided quail for you. I'm the one that set up everything. I'm the one that delivered you from Egypt. And they said, well, yeah, we realize that, but we sure would like a king, though. And listen, you know what they did? They decided they were going to go contemporary. They decided what they wanted is they wanted to match up with the times. They wanted to have the characteristics that deemed them like everybody else. Folks, listen to me. The church was never designed to be like everything else. It was never designed to be like a movie theater. It was never designed to come and be a place of entertainment. It's always been designed to be a place of worship. That's what it's always designed to be. Let me give you a New Testament illustration. Give you one more, we're done. 1 Corinthians 14. Remember the church there? Remember the Corinthian church? Paul walked in. He said, what in the world is going on in this place? He said, what is this yibber-yabber y'all are doing? They said, oh, don't you know that's tongues? Don't you know that? Don't you know that the Jesus taught that? He said, he did. That's funny because I know him and I know people that walk with me. I don't remember him ever teaching about that. He said, where'd you get that from? You know where they got that from? They got that from the traditions of men. Now listen, go check me out. We don't have time to talk about this. But what it is you know the problem with the church at Corinth? The problem that Paul had to correct with the church at Corinth is they tried to bring over heathen practices into the church. And now listen, they got saved, but they never got away from some of their practices. And they tried to bring them into the church. And he had to correct them. He said, I speak with more tongues than you all. He says, but you know what you ought to do? You ought to excel. You ought to follow after prophecy. You ought to be following about
promoting the message of Jesus. You're so concerned about all these contemporary little things that you're missing the message. You're missing worship. And he had to correct it.
Well, you get to heaven one day. Have you ever read about what kind of worship's going on there? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. He's being magnified. He's being worshiped. He's being praised. Listen, the focus of attention's on the Lord. The focus is on a sacrificed life. The focus is not on me. And the focus is not on you. It's on one person, Jesus. Here's the last one, I'm done. And that is, we need to stick with traditional service. I'm not going to spend much time here, but here's what the Lord said. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He says, now if you don't, drink all the big cat you want. Now you listen, because one day we're going to stand before the God of tradition, who set forth the manner that's handed down from generation to generation, that has been proven, that has been consistent, that he has blessed. Check me out. The traditions of men were never promoted by the prophets, never promoted by Jesus, never promoted by the apostles, and listen, and was never promoted by the early church. That early church, in just a matter of days, went from 120 members to 8,120 members. How did that happen? Tradition. Preaching the word. They carried out the message with the right motive. And they understood we are the means by which it's to get done. Traditional service. If you love me, keep my commandments. Paul was a traditional service guy. You know why I know that? Because he compared one in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 10. He said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved what, church? This present world. He got caught up in the traditions of men. And he forsook the traditions of Scripture. And he said, he's forsaken me. Think about this. Every Christian, we have one purpose, and that's to advance the message of Jesus Christ. And the greatest opportunity is to do it collectively through our local church. Did not Jesus die for the church? And as a born-again baptized believer, we are part of that. He says we can do a greater job if we work together as a team to promote the message. And when we come with the right motive. And he said, you are the means. You know what that is? That's tradition. Now, folks, listen, I'm not against technology, are you? I'm not. But, you know, I have a landline, but you know, that's tradition, right? Hey, I'm not against the promotion of a cell phone. I was a lot happier when I didn't have one, but listen, don't go out of here and say that preacher's not promoting that we ought to advance in technology. Is that what he's talking about? He's not talking about technology. He's talking about salvation. He's talking about worship. He's talking about service. He said, I've set a pattern that is to be traditional. He says, either follow that or not. He says, listen, if you want to drink BK, have at it. Drink all you want. But you're going to stand before me one day and you're going to be judged on Diet Coke. Okay? Now listen, folks, they are different. And that's how we're going to be. Would you bow your heads this morning? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking around. How many can say, preacher, I'm saved, I'm a born-again Christian. I want you to slip your hand way up high. I said, that's me. I have met Jesus Christ, no question about it. I remember it to this day. All right? You can put your hands down. Now, Father, I ask that you'd meet with us this morning. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to be in church. I realize, Lord, that these people are here by their own volition. They're here by their own choice. And so my prayer is simply, would you meet with us, speak to us, do your work, Holy Spirit, because not everybody could raise their hand and say they were a born-again believer. And so I pray that this morning, that today, move from heart to heart, person to person, because you have traditional salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, plus nothing, minus nothing. It's not of works. It's not predetermined. It's not through any act of our own. It's all through the finished work of Jesus. And would you help them to come to that knowledge today, please, before they leave this place? Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one's moving around. Let's be respectful of these that are praying. I want you to listen carefully. Some of you couldn't raise your hand just a moment ago. But would you at least let me pray for you? Would you let me pray that God would give you the grace and that you will come to that saving grace of Jesus Christ? And you say, preacher, that's me. I don't know for sure. If I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I'll let you pray for me. Nobody's looking but me. And you'd let me know that by the uplifted hand. Just slip your hand up and you say, preacher, that's me. I don't know for sure. If I died today, I'm going to heaven. I've never met Jesus Christ. Nobody's ever taken the Bible and showed me how to be saved. Would you pray for me? Slip your hand way up high. Just slip it up so I can see it. God bless you. And you, who will join these three? You can slip your hands down. Who will join these three? Say, preacher, that's me. That's me. I've never been born into the family of God. It's not that I don't want to. It's just nobody's ever taken the time to show me. I want to be saved. I just don't know if I died, I'd go to heaven. Anybody will join these three? Just slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. That's me. That's me. Anybody else? All right, maybe you're here this morning. You say, preacher, I'm already saved, but I've never been baptized. After I got saved, I know it's the right thing to do. I know the Bible teaches it. Would you pray for me? I need to obey God in that area. I want you to slip your hand up and say, at least let me pray for you. Pray for me. God bless you. You can put your hand down. You say, preacher, I've already been saved, never been baptized. I know it's the right thing to do. I know God will honor it. He'll bless it if I'll obey. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Who will join these two? Anybody else? Anybody else? Just slip it up. Slip it up. Put it right back down. All right? God bless you. I wonder if there's somebody here that would say, preacher, I'm struggling in my heart here. I need to find a place to serve God. I need a church home. I need to find a place to where I can settle my family, that we can worship God, and a place that I know is God's will. And you'd say, preacher, would you please join me in prayer as we seek God's will about a church home? Nobody's looking but me. And you slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. That's me. Just slip it up. God bless you and you. You can put your hands down. Anybody else? Anybody else? Will join these and say, preacher, that's me. That's me. All right? All right? I wonder if there might be some here. One last thing. We're going to pray and move into the invitation. I wonder if there might be some here today that say, preacher, I've kind of gotten away from the traditions of Scripture. I've gotten away from some things that I know better, preacher, but I've gotten away from them. Would you pray for me? I need to get back to traditional Scripture teachings. I need to get back to doing the things and the things that have been proven, the things that have been a foundation that has been handed down from our forefathers from generation to generation. You say, preacher, I've kind of gotten away from them. Would you please pray for me? Nobody's looking but me. And you say, that's me. Why don't you slip your hand up? Slip it up. Slip it up. God bless you. And you, and you, and you, and you. God bless you. All over. All right? Wonderful. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Now, Father, I'm going to ask that you take control of this invitation time. Father, the subject matter today is so important because we are living in a very, very precarious day. We're living in a day of change. We're living in a day, Lord, that the climate, when it comes to traditional values and service and worship, are being attacked today. And so, Lord, we want to take a stand. We want to do it the right way. And we believe, Lord, that the Scripture, you teach us the right way. We want to practice that. We want to live by it, and so that we can bring honor and glory unto thy name. Now, Father, there are some this morning that raised their hands and said they did not know Jesus. Please let them come. Please don't let them walk out today without knowing the Lord. Some this morning raised their hand and said they needed to be baptized. I pray that they would come. Lord, you sent them here, I believe, on purpose to make the right decision for their life. I pray that you'd move in their heart and life today. And then there are some that need to, Lord, make some adjustments in their life that they might move back into the traditional avenue and traditional path of service and worship of God. There's so many other things, Lord, we could have talked about this, but these are the main ones that I wanted to cover. And I pray that you bless now the preaching of your word and the invitation now in Jesus' name. Now with the heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand to our feet. I'm going to ask the instruments to begin to play. I'm going to ask Brother Shaddix, you begin to sing. You come on. You come on. Come on. If you raise your hand, say, preacher, I need to be saved. Would you come this morning? God's waiting. You know what he's waiting? He's waiting for here with a traditional salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. You come on. Come on. We want you to come. If you're a lady, we'll have a lady take you aside and show you how to be saved. If you're a man, we'll have a man take you aside and show you likewise how to be saved. If you just need someone to pray with you, you come on. Come on. Come on. This is your opportunity. This is it. God sent you here this morning on purpose. He sent you here on purpose this morning. I believe he wants you to make a decision that will literally change your life and change your direction. Come on, maybe you just need to come and pray this morning. Maybe daddies, you need to grab your family by the hand and bring them to the altar this morning and join us here and pray. Maybe say, preacher, what you preached on.